And then the funeral service will be at 7 p.m. and I'll be doing a funeral service. And so just keep that in prayer. If you can't make it over there, you just pray that Monday night that the Lord would just help there in that situation. And then the interment will be on Tuesday the 10th at 11 down at Indiantown Gap National Cemetery. So I guess he wanted to be buried down there because he was a Marine. So just keep that whole thing in prayer. I'm going to leave the information for all that over here on the organ. If you're interested in coming by, I'll put that information there. For right now, it's Brother, can you open prayer, brother? Can you open up in a prayer?
Right. Holy Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here in church tonight. We thank you for all those that can make it. Lord, we just are thankful, Lord, to be around the brethren. Lord, we ask tonight that you meet with us, Lord. If you're not here with us, Lord, there's really no point for us to meet anymore. We ask that you bless the time of singing, the time of prayer, the time of preaching. Pray that you use Pastor, Lord, fill him with your Spirit, direct his service by the Holy Spirit, Lord, and give us some things that we can take home and think on, Lord, and learn from, and just that will help us and grow as Christians. Lord, we just thank you for your love. Lord, we just ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You got brother. Yes.
All right. If you would, please stand with me and turn to page 529. Day by day. Page 529.
My Jesus, I love thee.
Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the valleys are.
So tomorrow, for those that might be interested in doing the public outreach and the sign holding, I'm going to bump it up an hour from 5 to 6. The last two nights I've headed over to First Baptist Church over there in Easton for those meetings, and they've been excellent. The last night was just outstanding. Brother Renzi preached over it last night, and Brother Jeffcoat, and it was just a blessing to my soul. So I'd like to try to get back over there tomorrow night and also on Friday. So if you're interested in coming out for the sign holding, Lord willing, tomorrow we'll do it from 5 to 6. And then I'm going to take off right around 6 to shoot over there and try to be a part of that meeting again tomorrow night. Also, for those that weren't here Sunday, I have the grief study sign-up sheet here. I'm going to leave it out one more Sunday, and then I'll try to order the books. But that'll start August 31st, Lord willing, from 6 to 7 on Tuesday nights. Lord willing, Sunday night we'll have the Lord's Supper. And then also, I'll mention it again on Sunday, but we did count the votes for the bylaws Sunday night. Brother Craig and Brother Glenn counted the votes for it, so it passed 31-1. So only one person voted against it. And then, Lord willing, also, I'm going to try it. This week's been crazy so far, but I'm going to try to get by the town hall sometime today or maybe tomorrow or Friday to try to do one last church picnic for Labor Day. So that'll be Saturday the 4th, Lord willing, if we can get that pavilion over there. Just one last picnic. It'll probably snow, so bring a winter jacket and all that, just knowing the weather. I'm telling you, these last two picnics, it's just been, you know, it's funny, like the four or five Saturdays before the picnic, it's perfect weather, it's crazy, and then the picnic comes around and boof. So Lord willing, hopefully it'll be good weather for September 4th, but I'll try to get over there and get that reserve for us. And then, I think that's all I have right now that I can think of. Amen. Let's go ahead and do the last song, brother. Amen.
If you would, turn with me to page 249. And I'll ask that y'all please stand. Sing out page 249, The Comforter Has Come.
The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come.
Does anybody have any additional prayer requests this evening? Sister Kathy?
Yes. This has been a very trying week. Not only did we lose Brother Les yesterday, but I lost my dear cousin. And just prayed for his wife's name is Nancy as well, and their children.
So keep Nancy in prayer and her children. Sister Kathy said she lost her cousin this week as well. So keep them in prayer, the family. Sister Barb, do you have one, sister? Miss Barb? Brother, go ahead.
Yeah, Pastor, my sister just went through an operation to have a malignant tumor removed from her bladder. And she's going to the cancer doctor tomorrow. She's scheduled to have a heart operation, which they say she won't make it through. And I'd just like prayer for her.
What's her name, brother?
I'm sorry.
What is her name?
Margaret Wright.
Margaret Wright. So keep Margaret Wright in prayer. She has a cancer and then also supposedly scheduled for a heart surgery, but it doesn't look well if she goes through the heart surgery. So keep her in prayer. Roland?
Pastor, I'd like to have a word of testimony with her as well as a prayer request. God has delivered me from many of sins, and I thank him for that. Mm-hmm. I'd like prayer for the quit smoking. I have given my life to the hand of the Lord, and I picked up, after a year of salvation, I've never known peace like that first year of my salvation.
Yes, sir.
And hearing and things like that. Mm-hmm. I came from a very poor past, and the blood of Christ has atoned for my sin. And I thank him for that. Mm-hmm. And I've been persecuted, and as well lashed out of time, not according to the Spirit's will, mm-hmm. or according to that of God. And sometimes I became holy and just didn't have it in because I didn't want to offend somebody. I pray that God puts the fire within me, but in a compassionate, kind, and gentle way spoken, but stirring with that of the right attitude to see the love radiating from me for the lost sinners that
yes.
are headed to hell because all the false doctrines, these 2,000 years of Christ,
yeah.
that man has enabled himself to distort their own vision with.
Yep. So just keep in prayer. Keep in prayer that God will help him to quit smoking, along with his testimony here. He'll just draw closer to the Lord. And there is a lot of you see tonight. You say Robert, right? Your name's Robert, Richard,
yes.
Richard, and then Robert, correct? Richard and Robert, and what's your name, sister? Ma'am,
Kim.
Kim. You have to forgive me tonight. Also, my ears are all clogged up. Just pray for me on that because I'm having trouble hearing. And I was telling Melanie about it. It's like, did anybody else have anything else that they want, Brother Brian?
Erica's grandfather went into the hospital today. He didn't get rushed there. The doctor told him he had to go. He had some blood work done recently, and apparently they found some things they're not thrilled about.
Yes, sir.
Don't really know exactly what that is, but he's been losing weight like crazy. He hasn't been able to eat. His oxygen is super low.
His blood pressure
is super low. So he actually went in this morning to get admitted, get some tests done. They don't really have any idea what it is. They're just kind of starting with the heart and moving on through some tests.
Okay.
So just keep him in prayer. His name is John.
So if you keep John in prayer, Erica's grandfather, admitted in the hospital, they can just figure out what's going on with him and his health issues and what he's dealing with. Also keep Pastor Gilmore in prayer as well. You can tell he's worn out a little bit and he had those heart issues and they're still trying to figure out what's going on with that. So keep him and his wife in prayer. And does anybody have anything else you want brought up? All right, let's go ahead and go to the Lord again in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just... Lord, thank you again for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, I know there's some heavy hearts here tonight. Lord, a lot going on, Father, in a lot of people's lives. Heavy things, very heavy things. And Lord, we just ask for your comfort tonight. We ask for your strength and encouragement and help. And Lord, just to all these different prayer requests that have been brought forward this evening, Lord, I pray you'd help us through this week to bring these things before your throne. Those that are sick, dear God, and in the hospital and just struggling with cancer and other issues, dear God, I pray, Lord, that you just meet the needs according to your will. And Lord, just encourage the families. Lord, just help us tonight, dear God. I pray you clear our mind. I pray you clear our thoughts, dear God. Just help us to receive what you'd have us to have out of your word tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you take your Bibles this evening, and look over at 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And kind of continuing on in our study here in 2 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says here in verse number 1, it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned word make merchandise of you, whose judgment now a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." I'm going to read something to you here this evening. You know what? Let's put that off to the side tonight. I want you to go ahead and flip over to your Bible. I just want to read something to you tonight. Psalm 18. Psalm 18. We're going to forego 2 Peter this evening. I was reading through this psalm this morning, and it kind of jumped out at me. I'm trying to put together what we're going to look at through a couple of weeks when it comes to the grief and sorrow and depression and just a lot of things that people are going through in the world today, everywhere. You can almost kind of feel it this evening coming in here. There's a heaviness. And I don't say that in a negative way. I think it's life. But I really do believe that the further we go along in society and in this world, it's going to get heavier. I really do believe that. That doesn't mean what I'm saying is that we can't have joy and happiness and sometimes some lightness in the right way. I believe that those days can still be there. But I believe as the days progress further and further on towards the coming of our Lord, the days are going to get darker spiritually. And so with that happening, there's more of an opportunity for the devil and for the enemy to look for his opportunities to try to drive us into the ground. Okay? The devil or the devils would like nothing more than to see you quit. You see, the devil can't make you quit if you're saved this evening. The devil can't make you do anything, or devils, okay? So let's just start off this evening by saying that I believe, as a pastor, I believe that there's a real God. I believe he has a real Son, Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in flesh. I believe in the Holy Spirit. But I also believe in the devil, Satan, Lucifer, and I also believe in devils or demons. I believe in a spiritual world out here. And I believe that they're doing battle right now that we can't see with our own eyes. here across this county, across this state, across this nation, and across this world. And the devil would like nothing better than to get you as a saved individual. Now, if you're lost, that's a whole different story. But if you're a saved individual, the devil can't take you out of the race. But what he can do is he can try to get on you and pound you and discourage you to where you take your own self out of the race. Does it make sense? The devil can't take you out of the race, but what he can do is he can pound you, he can get on you, he can get in your mind and say things to you in the hopes of that there's a 50-50 chance that you'll just say, forget this, I quit. I don't want nothing more to do with it. I'm tired of the fighting. I'm tired of the mind games. I'm tired of the oppression. I'm tired of feeling like there's always a black cloud around me. I'm just tired of it all. I'm just done. I'm going to go do my thing. And when I've heard certain Christians that have done that, they said as soon as they've given into it and say, I quit, it's like everything lifts and everything's fine and everything's good. I've heard some brothers tell me that. That went back on God, and they said, as soon as I went back on God, listen to the devil's tactics now. When you're saved and you're trying to live for him, it's bam. It's a constant barrage on the mind and on the heart. Now think about it. If you're a castle and you're trying to live for God and you got this castle you're trying to defend and you're trying to fight the battles for the Lord Jesus Christ, where is the enemy's ammunition and efforts going to be towards that castle that's causing him issues and problems? And so any good enemy is going to try to encamp around it and bombard it and try to get it to stop being the influence that it is and the protection that it is. That's the same way in a Christian walk and a Christian life. When you strive and start putting forth the effort to do the right thing, now the fight is on, O Christian soldier. Brother Renzi hit it right last night, brother. He hit it right. As soon as you start taking those steps forward to getting right with God or try to fight the battles for God, look out, it's on. Now listen to the devil's tactics now. When you're doing that, pound, pound, pound. And if you can get a believer to say, I quit, and I'm walking away, the devil's like, all right, good. Now where's that 50-50 chance? It worked. He's quit. He stopped. But the problem is this. The darkness might have lifted. The battles might have stopped. Or else they're not as bad as they were. And it seems like things are a little better. But then that individual, if they're really saved and in their heart, they're going to say, you know what, I'm just not doing right by God. I need to get back in church. I should stop doing these things that I'm doing because I know they're not right. And I just need to get back to God. Now the devil switches his tactics all around and he says, you'll never get back to God. You're never good. You're not going to be good enough. Look at all the bad things you did now. And it's just the opposite. You'll never get back to what you used to be. God doesn't love you more. God won't take you back. God won't forgive you. Look, you've done... The tactic completely changes. And so as Christians, we got to be aware in our minds and in our hearts the tactics of the enemy. And so when you come into a situation like this week has been very heavy. Actually, the last couple months have been very heavy. It's been so heavy that the people at Brubaker know my name. Sister Nancy said she called over there and they said, okay, you know, we can get you a pastor. She's like, I got a pastor. It's okay, what's his name? Chris Welton. Oh, he's been here a lot. So please, nobody else, you all stay healthy for a number of years forward from here. But it's there's a lot been going on. A lot been going on. And a lot of heavy things going on in people's hearts and people's lives. And the devil's not ignorant of that. You take a flock of sheep, which what we are. And if there's some that are heavy laden and weighed down and are limping along because they've just been fighting the battles, they've been going through some stuff, and they're just not as strong just because of what they've been going through. Any animal of prey is going to notice that some of the sheep are a little bit weaker than what they could be because of what they're going through. Nothing on them, it's just this nature. Well, that's why during these times we need to be even more aware of the devil's tactics and strategies. Psalm 18 says this, I don't know, in some Bibles, in my Bible it says before the verse starts, it says, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, and from the hand of Saul, and he said, I will love thee, O Lord, with my strength. David says in verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. So look what David says here in Psalm chapter 1 and verse number 1 and 2. He says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. So David automatically is determined in his mind saying, Lord, he's determining in his mind and in his heart, Lord, I am going to love you with my strength. God, I'm going to give attention to you with my strength and with my heart. Listen, David is engaging himself towards God. And it's the same thing we have to do. You don't ever do anything to where you disengage. You always do the engagement. Now listen, holistic approaches is to disengage. That's dangerous. You don't ever disengage. You always stay engaged. And what I mean by this is this. There was a big push here. The last year and a half that I was in the juvenile detention center as a chaplain there. How you doing, sir? While I was there for the last year and a half, I was there. This big push to start doing mindfulness training. Now that's none of the state's business to start doing what they're doing, but there's an agenda behind it. Now what they would do is they'd bring you into these huge auditoriums, bring all the state employees in, and they would do different seminars and all that. But one of the seminars was on mindfulness. And so they had a person get up there and they said, listen now, everybody in the crowd. And the reason they're bringing this in is because people can't handle the pressures no more of life. They got anxiety, they got depression, they're taking all these medications, they're pinging off the walls. Because we've rejected God, we've rejected His Word, and everybody's looking for a place to find relief from their sin. But society and psychology and psychiatrists say there's no such thing as sin because there's no such thing as a God. But man knows in his heart that he sinned. Man knows in his heart that he's done wrong. Man knows in his conscience when he's done something wrong, it bothers him at first until it becomes hard as concrete. And there's a lot of individuals out there today, their heart has become hard as concrete. And that's why you can go into a school and shoot up 30 kids and not think nothing of it. But at first, the conscience is soft and the conscience knows I've done wrong. You ain't done wrong. There's no such thing as sin. No, there is sin. And so they can't handle this. So now they're doing these seminars in the state system saying, okay, what I want everybody to do now. And I had my boss trying to do it to me. I had all through the state down there in South Carolina. Okay, everybody close your eyes. Okay, I want you to take deep breaths in. Out. Bro, that's dangerous. Now I want you to disengage. That's talking about devil possession right there. If you're disengaging, you open doors for the enemy to come in and mess with you. You see, you're not just you here tonight, you're not just a physical body. You have a spirit and you have a soul. And when you disengage and you let your mind just separate and you don't take control of your thoughts and you just leave things open and you relax, that's why yoga is so dangerous. Any of these mystical type of meditation type things to where you disengage. What do they say when you're using an old television and you had the antenna on top? Remember you had to like put it certain ways and you get it a certain way. And usually it was a kid doing it, because then a parent would say, just stand there so we can watch TV now. That's right there. Just stay right there. It's like, Dad, I can't just stare right now. No, just stay right there. Really, I got to see this last play in this football game. No. So, but what you did is you tuned in. You tune into a program. In a spiritual realm with witches and all that, you try to tune in to the spiritual realm. It's also called channeling. What do you do with the TV? You turn the channels. Brethren, there's a lot more to this thing. I wasn't planning on preaching this tonight, so I don't have no notes. But there's a lot to this. When you disengage your mind, you leave the door open for the enemy to get in there and have legal right to be there. There's a lot of individuals out there walking today, they don't even realize they're possessed by the devil because of what they allowed come into their mind and in their heart. Listen, I'll tell you this. When I used to play video games when I was little, I'll tell you how dangerous video games are. I would play video games so much when I was little that I'd sit there that the thing would get so hot on the wall that you couldn't pull it out, the adapter. And there was times where I was playing and I would zone out because I played so much, and I would just zone out. And I'm like, whoa, get back into this. That's dangerous when you zone out. You always stay in control of your mind. That's why drugs are so dangerous. That's why alcohol is so dangerous. It may provide a physical feeling, but it's also opening doors on a spiritual level. So when I was a state trooper one time, it was a Sunday morning, early Sunday morning. We had just come on shift. And they're usually on the interstate down there on a Sunday morning going into Charleston, downtown Charleston. There's hardly any traffic on the road, hardly anything, especially early Sunday morning. And all of a sudden we get this call that a driver said, yeah, there's a guy coming down the interstate inbound to Charleston, and he's got no tires on his car. I was like, come on, man. No tire. Yeah, no tires. About 25 miles an hour. So me and my buddy, we were sitting there, and he was getting ready to come up on us, so we waited. Sure enough, here comes this car down the road, 20, 25 miles an hour, sparks flying everywhere. He's just riding on four rims. No tires. So my buddy gets in behind him. I'm behind my buddy, flips on the blue lights. Guy keeps driving. Pull up beside him. Eventually, he just turns off the highway right down in the woods. So we get out of the car, we go down there, he has his music blaring. And one of the songs that was playing was about being crazy. And I remember listening, I knew the song, and I said, this is ironic. And when we got up to the guy, he wouldn't get out of the car. And it was down in the woods, and he was pinned down there, it was a truck, and he was pinned down in there, and we couldn't get him out. And the music's blaring. And so we finally get out of my car, and he's like, the devils are after me, the devils are after me. Stop the devils, they're after me. He's got red stuff coming all. He was what they call robo-tripping, because he just popped a bunch of Sudafed and Robitussin and just was high as a kite. But he's out of his mind. But what got me is he said, the devils are after me, devils are after me. And he started quoting Ecclesiastes. You do kind of stuff like that, you open up your mind, you open up your body, you open up your soul and spirit to influences of devils. You don't ever disengage. You always stay engaged. You don't ever let anybody get you in a position where you're hypnosis and all this other stuff. You don't ever let that happen. Because being hypnotized, something, it's real. And what comes in and takes over is not you and the hypnotist. It's a devil getting in there to mess with you. I say that to say this now. Look back at what David says. He says, I will love thee, O Lord. That is an engagement attitude. I will love thee, O Lord. That David is willing in himself saying, God, I am going to love you, my strength. That was his strength. And then he says, look next. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. There's a lot of protection right there. But now look, this is what we got to realize here. When you're walking in life and something happens or the storms of life are getting ready to come in, it's just as if we were walking in a field down here as you head to the airport. And let's say we're all out there in the field and we're doing something, we're having a picnic or something, and off in the distance our phones go off or whatever, and it says a tornado alert, there's tornadoes coming. And off in the distance we see tornadoes and they're heading our way. It would be foolish of us to stand there and say, well, I can take on this tornado. I can handle this tornado. I got it because I know what I'm doing. Well, I'm going to leave you standing there and I'm going to start running. And where I'm going to start running to is a place that I feel is a stronghold, is a refuge, is a tower that can protect me from that storm that's getting ready to happen. It's the same thing in our life. When the storms are coming in, when the rain starts falling, when the tornadoes and the wind and the hail, you need to actively engage yourself and run yourself into the Lord as your strong tower, as your fortress, as your buckler, as your shield. You get behind the Lord, in the Lord, and say, God, I need you to help me in this situation. David says, that's what I'm going to do. Because look what he says in verse 3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from all mine enemies. God, I'm going to call out to you and I'm going to praise you. And in doing so, Lord, I believe that you'll save me from mine enemies. Now look at verse 4. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Now look there, verse 4 says sorrows, verse 5 says sorrows. You have floods, you have snares. He says in verse 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. You have to realize that God hears you. God will hear you. David was so beaten down. David was in such a state there from his enemies. He says in verse 5, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. That's one thing I want you to realize this evening. God allowed David to be in that spot. God allowed David to be in that spot. If I'm not, I might be off a little bit on my time on it, but I believe it was around 12 or 13 years that David wandered before he became king, after he was anointed. It was a good amount of time. From the time that Samuel anointed him there with his daddy till he eventually took the throne, if I'm not mistaken, it was between 10, 12, 13 years, somewhere near. It was a nice little amount of time. And what was happening that whole time? He was running from Saul, who was a possessed man at times, who sought counsel from witches. David is the Lord's anointed king. He's anointed by God to be king. And look what God allows him to go through for a good amount of time. Running around out there in the wilderness, sleeping in caves, having a crazy man trying to kill him, his own father-in-law. And God allowed it that whole time for that occur. And David's in a point of sorrows of death, sorrows of hell, distress and anguish. He calls upon God and he says, God hears me. You know what God's looking for? God's looking for you to stay faithful. Don't quit. If you get knocked down, get back up. Say, God, I'm still in this fight for you, Lord. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep going forward. But it takes you being engaged through the storm. Now look at verse 7. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. This is why I say the story is not over. Verse number 9. He bowed the heavens also and came down. And darkness was under his feet, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, and he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also in a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord delights in you tonight. Listen, if you're his saint tonight, God delights in you. If you're a son of God, God delights in you. God's not up there sleeping tonight. God hears, God knows, God sees. David realizes this, David recognizes this, and David says, but the Lord was my stay. Verse 19, and he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. It's never right to do wrong. It's never right to do wrong. There's never a time in our life to where there's an excuse to sin before God. David makes this plea to God, and he says to God, he says, the Lord rewarded me according to what? My righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept thy ways of the Lord and not wickedly departed from my God. You see, that's where that 50-50 comes in again. Look what he says there in verse number 21. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not done wickedly and I have not wickedly departed from my God. That's exactly what the devil hopes you'll do, is to depart from your God. Listen, when no storm comes in, enemy comes in, starts assailing, starts attacking, the devil is hoping that you will disengage and depart yourself from God. Because as soon as you start separating yourself from God, you're more vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. You forsake the fortress, you forsake the castle, you forsake your high tower, you forsake your strength, you forsake your shield, you forsake your buckler, you're wide open now. You're wide open to the enemy's tactics and arrows and his fighting against you. Don't depart from God. Always do right and turn to him. He says in verse 22, for all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. And with the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the pure, thou wilt show thyself forward. For thou wilt save, look what he says, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Do you see this morning or this evening? Don't quit. God will put his people through afflictions. God will put his people through trials. God will put his people through testings, heartache, struggles. Don't quit. The Lord sees, the Lord knows, and the Lord can help. Verse 27, for thou wilt save the afflicted people and bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. And by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. Do you see that tonight? As for God, his way is perfect. Hold your hand there and flip over to the book of Proverbs, a verse that I think everybody in here knows very well. Proverbs chapter 3. And look at verse number 5. Actually, Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 1. Proverbs 3:1. David talking to his son Solomon, look what he says. He says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the tables of thine heart. Look what you'll find if you do those things, it says here in Proverbs. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. David says to his son Solomon, he says in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. With all thine heart. What did David say back there in Psalms 18, verse 30? He says, as for God, his way is perfect. If you tonight... I'm almost done here. If you tonight have yielded yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and his will for your life, if you've done that tonight, and if you're trying to strive to live that way, to where you're in your heart, you say, God, I'm trying to do your will. God, help me if I'm not. Help me to get to where I need to be. But God, if I'm there and I believe that I'm there, God, help me to walk in it. Help me to trust you and help me to realize, God, that your way is perfect. If you're walking with God tonight and bad things are happening in your life, what you would term, for lack of better words, bad things are happening, hard things are happening, it's because God's allowing them. Because his way is perfect. I was talking to somebody this week, and Brother Jason sent out a thing to me, and he said, what did it say? You all remember what he said? If a pastor corrects you, it's not time to change memberships of a church. Something along those lines, right? Well, if the Lord corrects you, it's not the time to try to start changing things or running away. And the reason I brought that up is because, listen, if you desire tonight, your heart's desire is to draw close to God and Him draw nigh to you. If your desire tonight is to have a closer walk with the Lord, it's going to hurt. You take an apple tree and you get an apple tree up and you want to produce more apples on it. You prune it. You cut it back. You pluck it. You take the flowers off. You let it grow bigger and then you cut it back more and you shape it. And you get it to a point to where finally when that apple tree is now in the right position to where you're going to let it bring forth fruit. It's gone through a long pruning process to get to the point and where it now can handle 300 apples. But to get to that point, it took some pain for that tree to go through some growth, some dinging and dunging and fertilizing and cutting back and pruning and picking and all this other stuff to get that tree to where it needs to be, to where the farmer can finally say, okay, this year I'll let you bring forth fruit. You see, but if you don't want to hurt something, which a lot of our society, they say, we think that when you hurt something, it's a bad thing. Not necessarily. If you let an apple tree get about this big, it's going to be able to start producing apples. But a good farmer will come in, and everywhere there's a flower, when it starts to bloom, everywhere there's a flower, there will be an apple. And a good farmer will come in and take all those flowers off, and that farmer won't let that tree produce one apple that year. He could. That tree can produce apples. But if you let it produce apples, it cannot yet handle all that weight. It's too much. And if you let it happen, it's going to fall over. Branches are going to snap. It's going to get crooked. It's going to get messed up because you didn't want to hurt it. But it can bring forth. Yep, but not yet. Cut it back. Prune it. Take all the flowers. Next year, it gets about this high. Do the same thing to it. Cut it back. Get it right. Next year, come back. Same thing. Do the same thing. It's about year 5 or 6 or 7, depending on the tree. Now you let it go. Look, that's your life. That's my life. If you desire to let God work in your life, He's gonna do some cutting. That's not pleasant. You really cut me on that. The proverb says, "Open rebuke is better than secret love." And I think the next verse says, "The kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Mm-hmm. Open rebuke is better than secret love. What did Paul tell Timothy? Preach the word. And the next two things, reprove and rebuke. Why? For your benefit. For my benefit. To allow God to prune and to cut and to hurt with the intention of later on the fruit that will come forth from that thing. It's like I said Sunday. You then can comfort those who are comfortless. Those that don't know Jesus Christ, those that don't have the Holy Spirit of God, those that haven't been made born again by the Spirit of God, you can now be the help to them. But it takes you doing what Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." Well, I just don't understand why God's allowing this. I don't understand why God would do this. I don't understand why God would deal with this situation like that. It's not for you to... Look what the Bible says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You don't need to understand. God may never help you understand. What God requires is obedience, and that obedience is to trust Him with all your heart. Preacher, I don't understand. You don't need to understand. Trust in Him with all your heart. And He says in verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Do right. I'm going to close with this evening. I want to close with these last verses back in Psalm 18. Verse 31. David asked two questions. Look at verse 30 real quick, and 30 and in the 31. As for God, His way is perfect. Psalm 18:30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word, look what it says now, the word of the Lord is tried. How is the word of the Lord tried? In your own walk with God. Are you going to stay true to what the word says? The word of the Lord, how is the word of the Lord tried? By you trying to live it out and whether you're going to stick to and do what it says. Are you going to stay faithful to what the Bible says, or are you going to go in your own understanding and in your own way? The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust Him. For who is God save the Lord? That's a question. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth, look what He does now. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. My arms, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. God will help you fight the battles you're fighting. He'll undergird you, He'll strengthen you, He'll give you the means and the abilities to go through what you're going through if you'll turn to Him and trust Him. With all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, and with all your soul. Everything you got, trust God. God knows, God sees, and God can deliver in His timing. But remember, He might just let you go through something for your benefit. You see, all things work together for good. All things work together for good to them that love God. All things. All things. I don't understand why so many things are happening right now. I know a little bit, but I don't understand why. But God does. And what He requires of us is not to quit, to do right, and to live for Him and to love Him. It's always right to do right. Don't quit, love God, do right, and hate evil. And God will see you through it. God will give you the strength and help you need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and Lord, for this psalm here. I thank you for David. Dear God, I thank you for David and just the things that we can pull from his life. Lord, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, dear God. We're made new creatures, dear God. We pass from death into life and have a new birth. And Lord, help us, dear God, to glean from some of these truths that David went through in a physical sense. Lord, help us to be able to apply it to the spiritual battles that we face. Dear God, help us not to try to always figure things out, but just trust you, Lord. I pray you'd help me with that. Lord, just to trust you, to do right, to lean upon you, to run into that strong tower, the refuge, our strength. And Lord, help us just to God to just stay faithful, Lord, encourage the brethren tonight, or those that are weary, those that are struggling, those that are heavy laden. God, I pray you'd relieve them. Lord, I pray you'd relieve them in your timing, dear God. I pray, Lord, if you don't relieve them, Lord, I pray you'd give them the strength to carry it, that you'd have them to carry, Lord. You know, dear God, what's needed. Lord, just help the brethren tonight. Lord, we love you. And I pray, God, you just watch over through us this week, dear God. And if it be your will, you bring us together again safely Sunday morning. And Lord, we'll give you the glory, we'll give you the honor, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So, again, on Wednesday nights here, we take a little time to pray. If you'd like to stay to pray, I just ask that you would to take before the Lord, Nancy, Sister Kathy, bringing up and her children. And also Nancy Pirelli and Dennis Pirelli. Keep Margaret in prayer. Robert here with Quit Smoking and Erica's grandfather. And then just the state of our country, our president, our vice president, our Supreme Court, and just all these things that our nation's facing. And I pray that if you do stay to pray tonight, that we would pray for one another. It doesn't have to be a quick prayer tonight, but I will specifically ask that, those that are members here and been here for a while, if you do stay to pray, that you kind of just go through the seating arrangements here where people sit and just bring them before the Lord tonight. Again, it doesn't have to be very long. Just bring their name before God. And that God would just help us as a church just to stay faithful to Him, to keep fighting a good fight of faith, and that and we just bring each other up before God tonight. So what we'll do here is I like to do a little something different tonight. If you're going to stay to pray, and a little bit after we're praying, I'll close it out 10, 15 minutes here, somewhere in there. I'll say a prayer for all those that are still left, and we'll just close it out. But if you do stay, please just try to touch the throne of God tonight. I know there's a lot of heavy things going on in a lot of people's hearts right now. A lot of heavy things going on. So just keep our brethren in prayer. Amen.